Father, we thank you for those promises that were made long, long ago. And you have been faithful to fulfill those promises, not just to Abraham himself, but to his son Isaac, to his grandson Israel, to the nation that came from them, and now to all the nations and families of the earth through the Lord Jesus Christ. And now you continue to bless the world through those who have come to faith in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And through the proclamation of the gospel, you have now brought and continue to bring blessing on every nation, tribe, and tongue, and people group. And so today, we, Lord, are blessed. And we thank you for the way that you have blessed us. And now we pray that as you blessed Abraham, and then you made him a blessing to others, that now that same process would be happening in and through us. Take now your word and teach us anew just how great are our blessings and just how much you want to do through us for the benefit of the rest of the world. Take your word now and use it in us today, we pray, in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I'm pretty sure we all know about Abraham, and of course you'll notice in chapter 12, he's not called Abraham. In chapter 12, where God gives that original blessing, he is Abram, which means exalted father. The only thing is, Abram didn't have any offspring, and he had a wife who was up in years and had already been through the change of life, and even during her normal childbearing years, she was barren, and so it was almost, you could say, at a minimum ironic, and at a maximum almost a mockery, that his name is Exalted Father, Abram. But God had spoken to Abram when he was still back in his land down there near Ur of the Chaldees, which was a very, very pagan place, not too far from what would later be Babylon, and modern-day Iraq, by the way, down there on the river. And God said, I want you to leave your land, I want you to leave your family, and I want you to go to a place that I will show you. And so began the journey. And years later, when Abram and his whole entourage, because he had 318 servants at one point, we know, male servants born in his own household, and extensive flocks and all the rest. When he arrives in what is today modern-day Israel, he arrives into the land of Canaan. God says, this is the land that I'm going to give you. And when he's up on the mountaintop, and I tell you what, you can see a long ways in Israel on a clear day when you're on a mountaintop. You can see all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. And God said, look north, and look south, and look east, and look west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and to your descendants after you. And then, of course, the other part of the promise had been, I will make you your name great, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those who dishonor you. And in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And so we know the rest of the story. And actually, this is the actual kickoff to the actual implementation of the work of redemption. Because God is now getting ready to start from scratch and build the nation from which the Lamb of God will come, who will offer himself for the sins of the world. And of course, there are still prophecies to be fulfilled in relation to some of these things, and they are going to be fulfilled, and it wouldn't surprise me if a lot of them don't get fulfilled, if not in our lifetime, certainly not too long thereafter. And just remember, as you see all this mess happening in the Middle East, that all that is happening there is that things are coming together for that final showdown. And folks, when that final showdown comes, then the Lord Jesus is going to step in and the whole nation of Israel is going to come to God. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And all these other things are going to happen. You just remember, it's bad. Oh, it's bad. But it means we are that much closer to the final fulfillment of what God has said. Of course, there's a contest because the enemy doesn't want to see these things fulfilled. But they will be, and they are right on schedule. But the point is, as God chooses Abram, he says, well, we read it, but we'll look at it again here. He says, and I, once you've obeyed me and done what I told you, I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So that is the seven-part promise that God gives to who is then Abram, and then later God changes his name, gives him the sign of circumcision, which is a symbol of salvation, interestingly enough, and changes his name from Abram to Abraham, which means father of a multitude. And so that's the way it is. And when Abram was in the flesh, in the natural, hadn't been yet called by God, he couldn't even fulfill what his natural name purported. And that's just like all the rest of us. But when God names him father of a multitude, he becomes a father of a multitude by divine intervention. And that is how we are brought into the family of God. Except a man be what? Born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. And this is something that God does. And in coming into Christ, we become spiritual children, spiritual descendants of Abraham, who was justified by faith, because it says that when God made those promises to him, he believed God. It doesn't say he believed in God. It says he believed God. And there's a difference. And God counted it to him as righteousness. There are people who believe in God and deny salvation. But those who believe God know that God said, my son is the one who paid for the sins of the world, and your only salvation is going to be through him. So that's why there's a big difference between believing in God and believing God. If we believe God, we will do what he says. Can I hear an amen? All right. A few observations here about this. And our subject is blessed to be a blessing. And somebody reminded me, said, oh, that's the theme of the Women's Fellowship of SNCCC. And I wasn't even thinking of that. But that is their theme, blessed to be a blessing. Number one, God is a God of blessing. And he desires to bless us. There are people out there that think that God is just looking for an opportunity to whack us. And he does whack us because we deserve to be whacked. Because we disobey. And the earth is under a curse right now. And that curse won't be lifted until the millennium. But why is that curse there? It is because of man's sin, his rebellion, his disobedience. And every people blame things on God. God isn't the author of any of it. He isn't the author of any of the suffering. that you see, either physical or spiritual or emotional or mental or any other way. God is not the author of that. That came in through sin. And yes, sin brings a curse. It has to, because everything that isn't in conformity to the perfect will of God and His character must be under a curse. But God is a God of blessing. He doesn't desire curse. He doesn't delight in the sufferings. And actually, He made a way so that the curse could be removed, and we'll be getting into that in a minute. But through the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what that is all about, so that the curse could be lifted, the curse that came because of sin. That curse had to be lifted, and the only way it could be lifted is if the full penalty for everything wrong that had been done had been paid. And that's what the Lord Jesus did. And that's why we can now say with Romans 12:1, there is now, therefore, what? Or Romans 8, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Why is that? Because the curse has been lifted. Now God is free to bless me. That's what grace is. Grace is just His favor, unmerited favor. It is His blessing poured out on me. He can do that. All of His blessings come to me through grace, and the grace comes through the blood of Jesus. Are you under the blood of Jesus? Are you under the blood of Jesus? Are your sins cleansed and washed away? Then you qualify for His blessing. Don't go around saying, I'm unworthy. If He made you worthy, how can you be unworthy? He made you worthy through the blood of Christ. You are His child. Are you His child? Are you going to go around and say, well, I'm His child, but I don't have any rights and I don't deserve anything? Children have rights, and children are entitled to things, and parents love to do the good and the right things for their children. How many parents say, well, I hope after I'm dead and gone, my child lives in a shack and dies from scurvy? No parent would do that. No. If we're a child, we're entitled to His blessings. Now, we don't go around with this entitlement thing. No, it's all by grace and it's by love. But at the same time, folks, He wants to bless us, is my point. He's not looking. And now, some of you discipline your children. Are you getting up in the morning saying, I'm just going to look for whatever I can so I can discipline my child? No, you discipline your child because it's required, but not because you enjoy it, although some children wonder sometimes. But no, He is looking to bless. He is looking. He is looking for an opportunity to bless us. And we just keep resisting and keep turning away and keep going our own way. And He's there and He wants to bless us, but He can't bless what we're doing. But He's the God of blessing. And everything that God does is good. And everything that is good deserves blessing. That's why when God made everything in the original, day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, and He says, and He blessed them. And He said, what did He say? Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. In other words, prosper, because everything that God does is good and is oriented toward blessing. There is no curse in God. The only curse is in sin. And we need to understand that. Number two, and God desires to bring blessing to the entire world. Of course, the entire world is under sin. You go to Japan, they worship ancestors. You go to the jungles of South America, they practice witchcraft. You go to the Far East, and they practice all that Hinduism and Buddhism and mess and believe in reincarnation and all that. You go to Western Europe today, and it's all secular humanism and a total rejection of God. Folks, and some of these folks are very primitive, and some of these folks are, you know, highly educated. What they all have in common is that they all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God, so the whole earth is under that. But God's desire is to bring blessing. How does he bring blessing? Well, he starts with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's the key. He's the one who paid the penalty so that the curse could be removed. And after Jesus did that, he died, he shed his blood, he was buried, he rose, and all that. Then what did he say to the disciples? Go and preach the gospel or make disciples. To where? Everybody. He wants to bring blessing. How does he bring that blessing? Through the message of the gospel. That's how he brings the blessing. Number three, since the world came under a curse because of sin, God sent his Son to remove the curse through his death on the cross. That's what Jesus came to do. It is through Christ that the curse of sin is removed. And of course, that's the only way. Religious rituals don't atone for sin. Only faith in the atoning work of Christ on the cross cleanses from sin, and therefore, when the sin is gone, then the curse can be lifted. It is through Christ that the curse of sin is removed and blessing is restored. And so the minute that I come under his grace, the minute that I come under the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am now his child, in that instant, I am out from under the curse. And I now am his child. So not only am I not going to spend eternity separated from God in a place of torment, I am actually, we read it today in 1 Peter, he's called us to glory. To his glory, to his eternal glory. And I am now blessed because I am in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, the greatest blessing in the world is sins forgiven. And I have two scripture quotes there. Blessed is a man whose sin is forgiven. Blessed is a man whose transgressions are covered. This is the greatest blessing of all. There is no other blessing that can even come close. Now we get to the other part. Number five, God chooses to bring blessing to the world by blessing his people. Now watch how God brings blessing to the world. God chooses to bring blessing to the world by blessing his people and using them as channels of his blessing to the world at large. To put it another way, God blesses the rest of the world through us. Now stop and think about that a minute. If the Lord took all the Christians and took them right out of the world, there would be no more blessing in the world. There wouldn't be any more. God doesn't sit up in heaven and say, okay, I'm going to bless. No. He blesses the ones he has called. Who did he call? Abraham. And he said, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make you a blessing, and in you or through you, all the what? Families is the original word there. All the families, all the people groups, all the families of the earth will be blessed. How? Through Abraham. And God has, as Tony so well pointed out earlier, God has blessed us. How big is the nation Israel? How big is it? How many Jews are there in the world compared to the whole 5 or 6 billion or however many of us there are right now on this planet? What percent do you think they are? They are an infinitesimal percent, and yet blessing has come to the whole world. The Lord Jesus Christ was born because it was a Jewish nation. There is a Bible, there is a scripture, there is a word of God because there is a Jewish nation. And even in the natural realm, if you take literature, if you take medicine, if you take science, if you take discoveries, if you take inventions, it is all totally out of proportion with the rest of the world's population. People don't even know this stuff, but so many of the things we enjoy daily are because some Jew invented it. And I'm just talking just plain, you know, I'm just talking, but it's true. It's absolutely true. And now, as Gentile believers, when we get plugged into Christ, who is of the seed of Abraham, guess what that makes us? Children of Abraham. And it qualifies us. We are in the world. The church, of course, now has been added, but it's the same thing. It's the same principle. It's the same operation. And through you, I'm going to bless the whole world. So beginning in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then to the uttermost part of the earth, take this message, because through this message, I'm going to bring blessing to every country, every nation, and every corner of the globe. Now, let's move closer to home. How does God bless your community? Through you, if you're a believer. How does He bless your extended family? Through you, if you're a believer. How does He bless your neighbors? Or how would He like to bless your neighbors? Through you, if you're a believer. That's why He has blessed you, so that you can bless them. And you are to be a blessing. I used to have this little sticker on my radio in Puerto Rico, and I still talk about it. I found it in a cereal box. Bloom where you are planted. Oh, I don't like it here. I don't like this soil. The people here aren't friendly. God said, where He put you, be a blessing. He didn't say, look around and see who can bless you. Am I stepping on any toes yet? And we look at our community of South Norfolk right now, and we say, well, if some of those people come in here, are they going to be a blessing to us? That isn't what it's about. It's about whether we are going to be a blessing to them. Why did God put SNCCC in this community when He originally did it? So it could be a what? A blessing to this community. Are we still situated in the same place? Has the community around us maybe changed a little bit? But has the call or the mission that God gave us changed any? Are we still to be a blessing to our community? There used to be a song we sang many years ago, Brighten the, some of you know it. What is it, Tommy? The corner where you are. What corner are we on? And that's what we're supposed to be blessing. Zig Ziglar. How many know that name? I've seen him 3 times in person. I'm blessed. in the Guinness World Book of Records for selling more pots and pans than any human ever known. Mr. Positive himself, and by the way, a strong believer and a Sunday school teacher of a men's class back at his Baptist church. But one of Zig Ziglar's cornerstones in all of his promotional, you know, his, what do they call that stuff? Motivational. Motivational stuff was, if you see to it that enough other people have what they need, you'll have what you need. Tommy, your wife, I hear she might be in real estate or something. If she helps enough people to get in the houses that they want and need, will she have what she needs?
Yes, sir.
And this applies not only in the natural, it applies in the spiritual. And that's why I have up here at the top these two quotes, and they are from the same person. Maybe somebody can tell me who said both of these. It is more blessed, there's that word, blessed. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And number two, freely you have received, freely give. Who said both of those? Jesus. And who did he say it to? His followers. Everything that God gives me, everything, gift, talent, knowledge, anything that God has given me, tangible or intangible, is so that I can pass it on. That's not in your notes, but you might want to write that down. We look at the TV. We see these different shows that are out there. How many have seen that? I haven't even watched one of them, but I know about it. I hear about stuff. How many have ever seen that show about the hoarders? Those people that hoarders. We look at that and we shake our heads. Oh. Are we doing the same thing spiritually? Oh, Lord, please send the blessing. We ain't passing any of it on. What do you have when you have a pool that's receiving water, but it's not putting any water out? What happens to that water? Turns stagnant, starts stinking, breeds mosquitoes. I could paint an even bigger picture than that, but we'll stop right there. It's not a pretty picture. Every single thing the Lord blesses me with is so that I can pass it on in some way. And if I'm not, I'm not doing what I was called to do. We think, well, Lord, show me what I need to be doing. Well, until he shows you, how about just being a blessing right here, right now? Wherever he's put us. Good place to start. Number five, God chooses to bring blessing to the world by blessing his people and using them as channels of his blessing to the world at large. God blesses the rest of the world through us. And that's what we've got to understand. Number six, I didn't put a blank on that one. We are blessed. So that what? So that we can be a blessing to others. That's why he blesses us. So we can be a blessing to others. Pass it on. Number seven. The same principles that apply to us individually also apply to the body as a whole. And so, as the Lord blesses SNCCC, the reason that he blesses SNCCC is so that SNCCC can be a blessing. Where? Well, for starters, right here. We're a blessing. We're a blessing in some ways, and I could name some of them, but probably not at the level the Lord would have us be. And my prayer during this transition time, and I don't know the date or the time, I just know the Lord's gonna do this in his time sometime in the next weeks or months. But this, you know, when, and I've quoted this one before, and this isn't from the scripture, but Kennedy, on the day of his inaugural address, said, "Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country." So as a church, right here, right now, we shouldn't be saying, the Lord would be saying, don't ask what South Norfolk can do for SNCCC. Ask what SNCCC can do for South Norfolk. And on the other one, don't be sitting there in that pew saying, what can that new preacher that comes do for me? Ask, what can I do for that man and his family? How can I bless him? How can I encourage him, that family? How can I be there for them? How can I make their transition easier? How can I be an encouragement to them to carry forth their ministry? And I guarantee you, if you take care of whoever your new pastor is, the way you may not like everything about him, but if you take care of him the way that you should, God will bless SNCCC through him, and then through him and his family and you. He will bless the community at large and many others. So may the Lord prepare us to be a blessing. Shall we pray? Father, we come today and we are blessed. Sometimes we complain. We complain about the silliest things. This particular batch of macaroni and cheese didn't turn out right. Oh, Lord, give us some perspective. Help us to understand how blessed we are. But help us also to understand, and that you bless us freely, Lord. You're not a stingy giver. You bless us freely, but you bless us freely. You have received freely. Give so as you have opened your hand of abundance to bless us, Lord, help us to open our hands of abundance and bless those around us, because we have the blessing. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. We have his joy. We have his peace. We have his forgiveness. We have even the material benefits that come from it. We have all that. And oh, Lord, that we would not be so blind or so short-sighted as to say, well, this is for me. This is for me to keep, or this is for me. No. How may I bless someone else? How may I bless my extended family? How may I bless my co-workers at work? How may I bless my community? Lord, may those be our thoughts and our prayers today. And thank you for your abundant blessing. In Jesus' name.